could stand. We're gonna jump right into it because we got a lot to do today.
All of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than of suffering, and yet share your victory. We did not wear that heavy burden, nor face the shame and agony. A crown of thorns was placed upon you. Now we are crowned with love and peace. Praise the Lord, my God. Now I am free at the cross. Your grace took hold of me. There you paid my debt. There you fought my fight. Yes, the battle was yours, and the blessing is mine. You chose to be a man of sorrows, that I can be a child of God. Stood and faced this world's rejection. I stand accepted by your love. Praise the Lord, my God. Now I am free at the cross. Your grace took hold of me. There you fought my fight. Yes, the battle was yours, and the blessing is mine. Yes, the battle was yours, and the blessing is mine. Sin was buried with the Savior. Now there is hope beyond the tomb. For you were raised again in glory, and I am raised to life in you. Forevermore to live with you. Praise the Lord, my God. Now I am free at the cross. Your grace took hold of me. There you paid my debt. There you fought my fight. Yes, the battle was yours, and the blessing is mine. Praise the Lord, my God. Now I am free at the cross. Your grace took hold of me. There you paid my debt. There you fought my fight. Yes, the battle was yours, and the blessing is mine. Yes, the battle was yours, and the blessing is mine. Yes, the battle was yours, and the blessing is mine.
Amen, Lord. The battle was yours, a battle we could not fight. Thank you for what you did for us on the cross. And for the testimony of those who will go today and say that the battle was Christ, I just accepted the result. Because that's what we have, Lord. A free gift. Not cheap grace. Not that we keep on sinning, but that we are now on a new path. And we thank you for putting us on it. All of you, none of us. Father, we pray that as we hear from the word today, we would know what we are hearing, and that we would understand what we're hearing, and that we would apply it to our lives and not walk away as, you know, ignorant. Please bless Nate as he brings the word. Bless those who are giving their testimonies today. And Lord, I just ask for a hedge of angels to protect us today. Please just do that, Lord, and stand on our behalf. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to Cornerstone. I did things a little bit differently this morning. Did you catch it? Boom, boom, boom. Anyway, we're on a little bit of a time crunch, so I tried to keep things smooth. It's great to have you here this morning, and boy, howdy, there's a lot of you, which is awesome. Some of you are probably visiting today. That's really cool. If you are, please like stand out somehow. Nate's up here in the front. He's got the glasses, and he started to grow a beard, which is interesting. We do have a question of the day, which is the way we force you to talk to each other. so this is, if you could be a competitive participant in a professional sport, which sport would you choose? Wow. I'm going to go back to high school and say track and field. It was the only thing I was good at. I was terrible at everything else. Talk to each other. Got a few minutes to talk. Kids, third grade and under, you can go downstairs to Children's Church, all right? Cool. Nate will be up in just a minute.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Cornerstone. This is Baptism Sunday. We do have a baptism coming up. The baptism will not be here in this place. Hopefully, you got a program. There's an address for where the baptism is. It's 1.3 miles from here, so it shouldn't take you any more than half an hour to get there if you're doing somersaults. It's pretty close. So we're gonna have our service is gonna be longer today. Like it's a normal service here, but then we're continuing over at the park, at the pool, a pig roast. So thank you, Travis and Andy. They were working like all day yesterday to cook up this pig, and a bunch of you are bringing food and everything. So everybody's invited. If you're like, oh no, I didn't know there was a picnic today, come anyway. It's fine. It's fine. Jesus fed the 5,000. We're going to feed however many come, and God will provide. So you are welcome to come spend the day with us and celebrate the baptism of, I think, 6 people. There were 8 on the list, and last night I got a text at 2:30 in the morning. Someone was not doing so well physically. So we may have another baptism soon coming up, so that's okay. But I think we'll have 6 people today. So the question of the day. Did I lose my clicker? Here's me. There it is. There it is. Maven took it. Maven.
Okay, I did.
So I want to hear some of your answers. What did you say? What sport would you choose if you could pick anything?
Soccer.
Soccer, long distance running.
Baseball.
Football.
Professional wrestling.
Volleyball. Beach volleyball is mine. Did I hear eating? I don't know who that kid is. He's here for the first time today. No, that's my son. I heard professional wrestling, I think. Yeah, beach volleyball is mine. Did anybody pick NASCAR? Hey, okay. Some of you are like, is NASCAR even a sport? I watched a Dude Perfect video. It's a sport, guys. It takes a lot. It takes a lot to do that. Just driving circles around a track? Yeah, there's more to it than that. Anybody know how many laps there are in a NASCAR, a typical NASCAR race? 300, 500. No, you're wrong. It's 500 miles. It's a 2.5 mile track. I don't know what that, it's 200. 200 laps. 200 laps around a track. Some people are in a NASCAR, some aren't. But today's Baptism Sunday, what in the world does that have to do with professional sports? Nothing. But In my head, there is a connection with NASCAR, so I'm glad you are here today. Thank you. So baptism, and so if you're new around here, you'll learn soon. My head doesn't work quite right, and sometimes I think about things that just doesn't make any sense to other people, but it makes sense to me, and maybe it'll make sense to you. Baptism is a little bit like the first minute of a NASCAR race. The first minute. It's the launch of your Christian life. It's the very beginning. The engine is roaring, ready to go. And if you watch NASCAR, like they're kind of cruising around the track, and there's a pace car in front of them going slower than they want to go. And eventually that pace car pulls off, and then they are off. And then it's go time, right? And so baptism is a little bit like that. And so for us, baptism is a gift from God. A very practical way and personal, tangible way to mark and remember the start of our journey. That's what it is. It marks it. It helps us remember. It's not the same as salvation. Baptism and salvation are not the same thing. Salvation happens the moment you trust in Jesus as your only hope. Your only hope for forgiveness and a relationship with God. It's when you stop trusting you and start trusting Him. That's salvation. That's when you're born again. And using the NASCAR analogy, that's when you get your engine. Right? That's when you have new life in Christ, power under the hood. That's salvation. So baptism then is the marker that I'm entering the race. I don't just have an engine. I'm driving on the track where God wants me to go. I am in this race. I'm choosing to live for God's kingdom. It's like telling God and everyone else, I'm in the race now. I'm going. So then you continue with this NASCAR analogy. Every NASCAR driver has a sponsor, right? I always forget my slides. I had a really cool NASCAR slide. So every NASCAR driver has a sponsor, right? And most of you probably don't know who these people are at all, but Chase Elliott has Napa, right? And Denny Hamlin had FedEx. If you're with NASCAR, he's not with FedEx anymore, but for a really long time he was. So NASCAR drivers have sponsors. Christians have sponsors too. We have sponsors too. And it might be a spiritual mentor, somebody you look up to. There might be a demon over there in that thing. I don't know what just happened there. We're going to dispossess that demon. Out. So we have sponsors. And it might be a parent. It might be somebody you just look up to as a spiritual mentor. It might be somebody who's dead who you read their books. But guys, who is our chief sponsor as followers of, hint, hint, Jesus? Right? Who's our chief sponsor? Yeah, how about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? We got some serious sponsors, guys. We got some major resources. Let's go. We're ready for this race because we are sponsored. One of my daughters was stressing out this week. She's in college, freshman year, and she started thinking about money and the future. And she's in college, and like she's got to pay for part of her college, a significant part of her college. She started freaking out about college and apartments and future weddings and just starting feeling overwhelmed. Like, how am I possibly going to pay for all this? And we were texting back and forth, and I just text her, you know, the Bible says don't worry about tomorrow. Every day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. And besides, your dad is filthy rich, and he can sell one of them cattle on a thousand hills of his. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. He loves you more than you can imagine. For real. He really does. Guys, God is with us, right? Amen. God is with us, and He is our chief sponsor. So today we have 6 people stepping into the waters of baptism. Maybe more by the end of today, I don't know. But we got six people who are confirmed. I'm off to the races. I'm in, publicly declaring their faith in Jesus. And I think pretty much all of them, except for one, are brand new in their faith. Maybe within like the last year, they have put their trust in Jesus for the first time. So that's exciting. People stepping forward saying, I'm a follower of Jesus, getting into the water, getting dunked. It's a sign that God is at work around here. And I've been seeing God at work around here in a lot of different ways. It's been really encouraging to my spirit. So today I want to think about what exactly is baptism according to the Bible. And I think I need to get off the NASCAR screen. NASCAR is a fun analogy, but and I think an analogy is a lot, and that can be helpful. But let's look, what does the Bible say about baptism? And some of you, this is new, old, you know this, you've thought about this, but not everybody. And so I just want to throw this out there. Are you aware that there are two different kinds of baptism in the Bible for Christians? Two different baptisms. Some of you are nodding. Some of you are like, what's he talking about? Yeah. So, and if you have your notes, you can fill this in if you want to. But two kinds of baptism. What are they? We got the Holy Spirit and water, right? Right? Water baptism and spirit baptism. Two kinds of baptism that we find in the Bible. Water baptism, kind of obviously, you get dunked underwater as a way of declaring, I am a follower of Jesus. Spirit baptism is different. That's the work of the Holy Spirit inside us to cleanse us and make us a new creation in Christ. The Holy Spirit makes us new. And those two kinds of baptism are connected. They're linked. How are they linked? Well, water baptism is a public way to tell everybody else, I have been spirit baptized. That's what it is. So which comes first? Spirit. I get baptized by the Spirit through faith in Jesus, that's salvation, born again, and then I get dunked to say, hey guys, everybody, you can't see inside my spirit, but that's what happened. That's what God did in me. So if you're not completely clear about that yet, like that's okay. I'm going to try to make it clear to you by going through two Bible passages that talk about both. The first is an example of water baptism in the book of Acts. The second is an explanation of spirit baptism in the book of Romans. So we're gonna dig into that. We'll start with water baptism, even though that comes second, right? But Acts chapter 8. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. If you brought a Bible, open it up. We're also in the Bible app. If you have the Bible app on your phone, you can find that in the events down the bottom right and follow that through. But anyway, Acts chapter 8. This is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And I'm not going to talk about what a eunuch is. If your kids want to know, you ask your parents if you don't know what a eunuch is. That's not the point. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. Like, that's how the Old Testament prophets are, right, guys? Like, it's confusing sometimes. So he doesn't know what's going on. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? He gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Okay, so Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. If you're familiar with the Bible, it's like, yeah, I read that before. If you're not, like, what? What? What just happened? Right. So who's this Philip guy? Who's Philip? He's one of the disciples, one of Jesus' original 12. Not as famous as Peter, James, and John, but he was there the whole time. He was with Jesus. And at this point in history, Jesus is gone. He's ascended back to heaven. And now the disciples, they're living out the Great Commission. They're leading more and more people to Jesus. They're baptizing people. They're teaching them to obey everything he told them. So they're living it out. And right now, here, this scene that's recorded in Acts chapter 8, the Holy Spirit has a specific task for Philip. There's a guy in a chariot heading south. I want you to go meet him. So what does Philip do? All right. He ran. God gave him an assignment. He ran to it. Ran up to the chariot. Hey, man, what you doing? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm reading this thing, and I don't even know what it says. Right? And he meets the guy. He realizes he's a pretty important dude. Guys, this is the Secretary of the Treasury of Ethiopia. Right? Okay, he's a eunuch. Oh, okay. No, he's the Secretary of the Treasury of Ethiopia, Queen Candace. Pretty important dude. All right. What else do we know about this guy? What do we know about his faith? What do we know about his faith? I think I got some verses here for you. Look at verse 27, 28. He'd gone up to Jerusalem to worship. Why would anybody from Ethiopia go to Jerusalem to worship? I tell you, Muhammad had not been there yet. He's worshiping the God of the Jews. He went to Jerusalem to worship. I don't know his backstory, but he's coming back from Jerusalem reading Isaiah. That's just not just any old prophet. That was a Jewish prophet looking forward to the Messiah. And by some divine coincidence, he's reading Isaiah 53, which happens to be saying something about someone who was just there in Jerusalem a few months before, hanging on a Roman cross. This guy's a believer in the God of Israel. And not that, this is still big news. But apparently he hadn't heard about it because he doesn't know about Jesus. He doesn't know about Jesus. And this prophecy, guys, this prophecy is amazing. Because it was written like 700-ish years before Jesus came. 700 years. And you look at the details of this prophecy, it is striking. Clearly about Jesus, as Philip explains. Right? Now, today and way back then, Jewish rabbis would say, this isn't about Jesus. This is about the nation of Israel. Well, guys, I'll just challenge you. Read Isaiah 53 this week, and you tell me if that sounds like it's about the nation of Israel or Jesus the Messiah. Listen to just this one verse. Here you go. That's the verse that he quoted. I'll remind you of it again. It's up on the screen. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? He had no children, right? He was cut off from the land of the living. And how about this one? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting out of line. This one, Isaiah 53:5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Amen. 700 years before Jesus talked about a man who would be pierced. Before piercing happened like this. Isaiah the prophet is explaining the way Jesus would die and the reason he would die. And it's right there. So Philip explains that to this Ethiopian Secretary of State. And then in verse 36 of Acts chapter 8, they're traveling along the road. I don't know how far they went, how long they're together, but they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" What does that tell us about their conversation? They must have talked about baptism. That strikes me as odd. Because when I'm talking to somebody about Jesus for the very first time, I don't usually bring up baptism. Do you? They did. They clearly had gotten into it. And this Ethiopian official, first time he sees water, I'm in. He was already a follower of the Jewish God, the God of Israel. Now he finds out who the Messiah is, and he is ready. He is ready. Ready to go. So he's like, let's do this. He believes he's ready. I want to get in the water. He clearly sees baptism, water baptism, as a really important first step as a new follower of Jesus. Let's do this now. As we see baptism in the book of Acts, like it's a great, if you want to learn about baptism, go to the book of Acts. It's everywhere. Right after Jesus left, he gives a great commission. I want you to lead people to Jesus. I want you to baptize them, teach them. Baptism happens everywhere in Acts. It just keeps happening. Water baptism, as we see it in Acts, it's like an initiation ceremony. That's kind of what we're going to do today, an initiation ceremony. If you're in the National Honor Society, you have inductions. The Olympics has an opening ceremony. The president has an inauguration. Baptism is like officially being inducted into the community of Christ followers. One of his first sermons after Jesus returned to heaven, Peter, he preaches this long sermon, this hard-hitting sermon, and the people are like, "Oh, what do we do?" You know what he says? "Repent and be baptized." Right there. Not like come to some classes for the next 16 years and then when you're finally ready, then we'll dunk you. Repent and be baptized. Acts chapter 2. 38, 39, Peter replied after this really long sermon, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Repent and be baptized. Repentance before God is how they were forgiven of their sin. Repentance is genuine sorrow. I don't want to live that way anymore. This is wrong. I don't want it. I want to turn to you. I want to follow you. That's repentance. Baptism is the way to make it public and join the community officially. And I think it's really cool that he added in that statement, and by the way, this invitation isn't just for you, those of you here right now. It's for all your kids and all their kids and all their kids, all the way down to you and me. You and me today. He's talking about us right here. Repent for forgiveness. Get baptized to go public about it. And so coming back to the Ethiopian, he says, "Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And Philip has no objection. No objection. So they stop the chariot. They get into the water. The Ethiopian is baptized, a brand new follower of Jesus. They come up out of the water. And then what happens? It appears one of the very only times of teleportation that ever happened. Right? Like he just disappears. Let me find it again. In case you missed it the first time, just a bit of Bible, blah, 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 blah. No. Pay attention. I don't care if you read it 40 times before. Verse 39, they came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Guys, we don't know exactly what happened or how that happened. Like, we can't duplicate that. We can't replicate that. Like, Star Wars, they thought they could, but Star Trek. I'm about to get stoned by somebody. Hopefully they're not here. We don't know exactly how that happened, but it doesn't look like Philip did this baptism, gave him a fist bump, and skipped off into the desert. That's not how it happened. He disappeared. Looks like right out of the water. Like, whew, whoa, where are you at? And he appeared in Azotus, as if nothing, well, just continuing on his way. Okay, who do you want to talk to next? That would be really cool. That would be really cool. Anyway, doesn't really matter exactly how it happened or what happened there. The Holy Spirit was doing all kinds of crazy stuff back then, and the Holy Spirit's doing a lot of stuff right now too, right? So the point is the Ethiopian believed, and as a sign of his belief, his first act of faith, he gets in the water. He gets baptized. Then he returns home as a brand new follower of Jesus. He was halfway there. He followed the right God, but he didn't know about Jesus. So today we are baptizing some brand new followers of Jesus. And I think that's pretty awesome. So I'm not talking to those who are being baptized today, but those who have been baptized already, how many would you just stand up if you were baptized at Cornerstone? Like at some point along the journey, it might be 10 years ago, 20 years ago, might be last year. Okay. And so those of you who were baptized before you got to Cornerstone, stand up to your feet. Stay up, stay up, stay up. Everybody who is already up, stay up. Okay, so this is the crowd who has already been baptized, said, I want to follow Jesus. Now, before you sit down, how's the journey been for you since you did that? One word. What's one word to describe the journey since you were baptized? Joy. Interesting. Eventful, awesome. What's that? Curvy. Yeah, what, my word was bumpy, roller coaster. Anybody, has it been hard at all? Okay. Okay, have a seat. Have a seat. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Our deacons were counting all the people who did not stand up, and we're, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. It is a bumpy road, guys. Getting baptized doesn't fix that. Doesn't change that. It's a curvy road, but God is with us. And as we talked about last week, he is going to be working good in all the curves that you find yourself, all the bumps you go over, all the dips where your stomach lurches. God is working good in all of those things because you're his now. And he takes care of his own. And I have loved seeing God at work in this place these last 6-8 months. Like, God is doing a work here. And it's super encouraging. I have great joy to see the Spirit of God working in people's lives. So baptism, guys, I don't know if you think about it, but baptism is a genius idea. I didn't come up with it, right? The one who came up with this is genius. And in case you weren't sure, like, people didn't come up with this. God gave us this. This is God's idea. And what makes it ingenious is because it involves not just the mind. I'm going to make a conscious, logical decision to follow Jesus. Like, okay, it involves the mind, but it involves every part of you. Right? You stand up in front of people saying, I want to follow Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. Okay, so that, you got some nervousness going on with that. Like, I don't know if I like to do that, stand in front of people. Most people would rather die. But so you're standing in front of people, and then you're getting into water. You're feeling that cold water, which it'll be like 72 degrees today. And you feel that water wash over you. This is a whole body experience. That helps to seal the memory, guys. The more senses, if you get some water up your nose or down your throat, that'll help you remember it even more. It helps you remember. It seals the decision. This is a moment that's not just something I think about. I'm experiencing the whole thing. I'm in. And it's not something you're doing in isolation. There's other people around you participating in this with you. So I would suggest that God had a pretty good idea here in giving this to us. It's a really cool way to seal that decision to follow Jesus. Now, I've been talking about water baptism mostly this whole time, but there's two kinds of baptism, right? What's the other kind? Spirit. Yes. you are listening at least a little bit. Good. Yeah, so water baptism will not take your sins away. Water baptism will not take your sins away. There are people who think water baptism takes their sins away. Water baptism does not take your sins away. You heard that, right? Both times I said it. Yeah. Travis got me. Water baptism is a physical expression of a symbolic act of what the Holy Spirit did in me when I believed. So let's look at that second Bible passage. Romans chapter 6. This one is about spirit baptism. And I've struggled with this past. It's like confusing. It's like got all this stuff going on in it. I'm like, is this water baptism? Is it spirit baptism? What's going on? So I'm gonna try to make some sense out of it together with you guys. But Romans chapter 6, it's the book right after Acts. So if you're trying to find it, it's right after Acts. Let me just read the first 7 verses. Sorry. The Apostle Paul, he's writing this letter to the Romans, believers in Rome. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who's died has been freed from sin. There's a lot in there. There's a lot of depth in there. He uses these phrases, dead to sin. Our old self was crucified with Jesus. We are no longer slaves to sin. Why is he talking about this? This is chapter 6 of Romans. He's been talking about things up to that point. There's a train of thought. It's just not a random chapter. What was he talking about before? So just before that, he was talking about the blessing of grace that we receive through Jesus as compared with the curse of sin we receive through Adam. Blessing of grace through Jesus, curse of sin through Adam. He's kind of comparing those things. And it's pretty incredible what we have. So grace, it means God's kindness, his undeserved kindness toward us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. So we're given this grace through Jesus. The curse, that's the consequences we earned. It's what we deserve for our sin, our rebellion. It's what we get through Adam. Through Adam, we get this sin nature. We get the consequences and penalties of it. So the grace and curse. Now there are people in churches today and outside of churches, people who say, maybe I don't even need to go to church, but they misinterpret God's grace as freedom to do whatever they want. To sin as much as we want, because there's grace. I'm going to be forgiven anyway. Paul addresses that first in chapter 6. What does he say? He said, what should we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Paul says grace isn't freedom to sin. It's freedom from sin. Amen. We died to sin. But think about, okay, what does that imply then before I come to Christ? This sin has a power. It has a power in us, a power over us. Before we give ourselves in faith to Jesus, sin has a power in us that can feel impossibly strong. And my mind went to those classic cartoons where they catch a whiff of something and it just like lifts their body up. Right? And they just float to whatever that thing is, that pie or that steak. Like, sin has a way to do that. Like, I'm just floating over to that thing and I almost can't stop. Right? I wish I had, like, a wire and I could actually. Sin has power, guys. And some of you know what I'm talking about all too well. The power that sin can have. Certain temptations feel simply irresistible. somebody pulls out in front of me and forcing me to slam on my brakes. And I mean, I'm riding their bumper like any good neighbor would do. They need to know what they just did. But I'm here to tell you that road rage is not a gift of the fruit of the Spirit. It's not. And my road rage might be little. I mean, I'm not packing or anything. But I'm still riding real close. My kids can tell you I do that. Or let's say you're in school, you're taking a test, and you're clueless. You're like, you forgot there was a test. You have no idea what's going on. And there's a straight-A student like right over here, and you see completely their whole paper. Like, you see it all. Like, and you're like, no. Like, you can't help but look at their answers. Guys, temptations are not the same for everybody. Like, I'm not tempted like that. Yeah, because you're the straight-A student. You're going to get a worse grade if you cheat. That's not your temptation. Okay, but everybody's got them. Everybody's got them. And sometimes they feel irresistible. And for some, it's that link on the phone or the computer. You click that thing, you're not even thinking about it, and all of a sudden it sucks you into this world of darkness again. Right? Sin has power. In some ways, sometimes feels irresistible, like an uninvited master, like you're born into slavery. That is how the Bible describes it. Slavery. Sin still has power in our lives after we trust Christ. Because you're like, but I'm a Christian, but it still has some power. Yeah, I know. But when we put our trust in Jesus, something happens inside of us. Amen. Something changes. And we are changed. Romans, it says, we died to sin. We died to sin. That means that power that sucked us in is not in control anymore. You got a new power in you. You got a new master in you. His name is Jesus. And he is good. You really want to do what's right? You can. You got a new power in you. And Paul goes on, verse 3 and 4, and he continues with this thought. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So he links these ideas, dying to sin, with being baptized into Jesus. He uses these phrases of buried with him, raised from the dead. He's not talking about being baptized by water at this point. Or literal death. He's not talking about you physically dying. He's talking about being baptized by the Spirit. Not literal death, but dying to sin. Not literal burial, but burying that old sinful nature. And being spiritually raised, a new person. With a new nature and a new master. So now my new nature, it wants to do right. Unfortunately, I still have an old nature too that's fighting. But by God's strength in me, I can do right because God has raised me to new life. So the baptism in Romans 6 is a work of the Holy Spirit where sin's power and dominion in my life is overruled by the power of God. And the dominion of Jesus. I belong to him now. I've been cleansed of the guilt of my sin. All of it. Spiritually washed clean and raised up to new life with a new master. And because of that, we have hope. We have this hope. Verse 5. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know, think of the confidence in these verses. We know that our old self was crucified with him so the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Guys, that's some fantastic news. That's fantastic news. Because I died with him, I will be raised with him. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I've been set free from sin's power. I live for God now. New life. And this is a work of God inside us, which happens the moment I surrender my crown to Jesus, say, I'm trusting you now. You're the boss. That's our spiritual baptism. What a beautiful thing that is. That crown's too heavy for you. It doesn't belong on you. It belongs on him, but we have to give it to him. So our baptism in water is this picture for others to see that shows what God did in my heart by faith. You go down into the water, fully submerged, right? We go all the way in, picturing the death of our old self, right? Our old self-serving desires, our old corrupt nature. Then I'm underwater, pictures my burial. I'm buried there, burying the old self in a grave. And we don't baptize with dirt because it would take too long to get you back out and you might actually die. So we use water, right? You're baptized in water, buried in water. You come back out of the water, it pictures your resurrection to new life in Christ. That's pretty cool. That's all the picture that's happening there. And because of what that all pictures and the purpose God gave us in baptism, it makes the most sense to take that step of baptism as closely as you can with the spirit baptism that happens in you. Link it together. As close as you can, they belong together. That's why the Ethiopian says, hey, there's water, let's do it right now. Philip must have explained that to him. They must have talked about it. You know, in the church today, sometimes with younger children, we would recommend wait until you're a little bit older so you definitely understand what's going on. And that's not necessarily bad. You want to be sure that they're going to remember. This is important. You want to, did I get baptized? I don't remember. I was 4. Like, well, maybe it's better to be a little bit older. But as a teenager and adult, the closer you can link it to your spirit baptism, the better off. So today, like we did last year, how many of you were here for the baptism last summer? You remember being here? You got baptized. Some of you were baptized last summer, right? So if you're thinking right now, I haven't been water baptized. I want to be baptized. I have been baptized by the Spirit. I believe, or maybe today's your day. Like, I want to be baptized by the Spirit. I'm going to take off my crown. I'm going to put my trust in Jesus. You want to be baptized today? You can be baptized today. Some of you are planning it. Others are like, I wasn't planning on that. But if the Spirit is tugging you, and you are already or ready to be born again as a follower of Jesus, you can be baptized today. You don't have to be. We're not going to have like 50 million altar calls and wait till everybody comes down that wasn't standing up before. We're not going to do that. But if the Spirit is working in you, you want to be baptized, you just get a hold of me before we get in the water and we can make it happen. I'll just ask a couple questions, make sure you understand what you're doing, what this is. But you can be baptized today, even if we didn't talk yet. And if you're nervous about it, like, I don't know, grab a friend and be like, okay, help me go up there and talk to him. I know I'm really unapproachable, I'm really intimidating, scary. That's okay, bring a friend, and then it'll be all right. But you understand the difference now between water baptism and spirit baptism, right? Let me hear you. Do you understand the difference between water baptism and spirit baptism? Yes, okay, absolutely. At least 60% of you do. That's good. So I just want to wrap up here. Getting in the water does not guarantee that you're going to stay on track the rest of your life. Let's go back to NASCAR, right? Staying on the track is a daily choice. Baptism is just saying, I'm in the race. I'm on the track. I'm starting. But you can still drive any direction you want, right? You've got a co-pilot, but you're still holding the wheel. Like, you can decide which way. You can go backwards off the track, whatever. You could pull over in the pit, just sit there. Some Christians do that. Sin still has power in us, but it no longer has authority. We still fall into sin. We're still going to mess up, right? Those of you who've been baptized, you still mess up? Yeah. You're not going to be perfect. We still choose the wrong sometimes, but as a forgiven child of God, those failures do not defeat us. They do not define us, and they no longer rule us. Right? We're going to fail, but grace covers that. Thank God for the grace we get through Jesus. Amen. He paid it. I don't have to. That's offensive to try to pay that debt that he already paid over there. Don't think you can do that. You can't. So all my sins, all my fails, whenever I fail, I can get back up again. I can get back on the road again because he already covered that. So baptism, it's not going to make you invincible like in Mario Kart when you're flashing and nothing can touch you, right? No, it doesn't work that way. You're not out of harm's way. So if you want to stay in the race, you want to keep going, you want to keep following Jesus all the way through to the end of your life, you're going to need more than a dunking. So I got a couple things in the notes. We're going to finish up here. Couple things. Okay, I forgot these slides, apparently. Every week, every single week for the last 20 years, I missed something. Okay, so baptism gets me started. What else do I need? What else do I need? You're going to need community. You're going to need community. You're going to need to hang with others who are doing the same thing. You need that. You need other people who are going the same direction. You ever notice how tightly those cars are packed together in the race? They're pushing each other, literally doing however many miles an hour. We need community. We need to stick together. You're also going to need some training. You're going to build up your strength, build up your skill. You got to be a good driver, right? You want to know God's word. He tells us, he teaches you how to drive, what to expect in the race, what's coming, and what to do about it. You learn from other godly people, too, who've also been studying this thing. You need training. You need community, training. You're going to need a way to communicate with the one who died for you and rose again. You got to have communication with the one who set up this race, set up your race. You want to stay connected. That's prayer. And you're going to need a heart that's in process of transforming, because your heart isn't fully transformed. You still got those corrupt desires. You still got good desires. You're a mix. But you want a heart that honors, trusts, and imitates God. And if you want to grow in that, remember when Jesus' disciples said, "Hey, Jesus, can you teach us to pray?" What did he say? He gave him a prayer. That was an enduring prayer, guys. Pray that prayer. And a lot of us have it memorized. I encourage you to paraphrase it. Put in your own words. So I got my own paraphrase just to kind of get your mind going. Just the Lord's Prayer, you might be familiar with it, but just go to God. God, Papa, maker of everything, you're holy. You're holy and you're good. And I want to live for your kingdom today. I want to live for your pleasure. May your will be done in my life today and every day. So please give me everything I need for today. Give me my physical needs, right? My daily bread. Give me my emotional needs, my social needs. Provide my spiritual needs, God. Forgive me when I mess up, and give me a spirit of grace and forgiveness toward others when they mess up. And please, God, give me your power to resist temptation and the devil's traps, because those traps can be really convincing. But I want to follow you. I'm yours, Lord. I'm all yours today and every day. Amen. Right, you hear the Lord's Prayer in there, right?
Yes.
But it's mine. I rewrote it. You can do that too. And you can use the exact words of Jesus as long as you mean them. As long as it doesn't become just like a routine thing that you say. That's not the point. Make sure you recite the Lord's Prayer once a day. That's not the point. The point is connection with Jesus. So baptism is the start. Water baptism makes it public. Then the rest of your life, you're in the race. Every day is another lap around the track. Another lap around the track. You thought NASCAR was long? That's 200 laps. If every day is a lap around the track and you live to be 80 years old, how many laps you got? Like 30,000. How many laps you got left? We won't go there. You're probably going to need a few pit stops along the way if you got 30,000 laps in front of you. You're probably going to break down every now and again. That's all right. It's a long game. Be patient. Keep going. It's a long race. And we'll do a lot better if we hang in the pack, committed to community, training, prayer, this transforming heart by the power of God. And absolutely, I must be connected to Jesus. You're not connected to Jesus, you're not going anywhere. He's the one who changes our hearts. He's the one who gives us direction. I want to be locked in. I want to be locked in the race. We've got weaknesses. God can work those out of us. He can transform us into a new person. You can dominate the track living for God's glory. Locked in. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I was spirit baptized at 5 years old. I was water baptized at 12. Today I have about 18,000 laps under my belt. And I'm still learning, still growing, but I'm still in the race. Where are you at in the race? Just starting out? not even got an engine yet? Like, where are you at in the race? I'm just going to give you a minute right now. You take a minute between you and God. There's some next step ideas in the back of your program. You can look at those. You can just talk to God. But God, what's my next step with you in this race? What is God doing in your heart right now? Just take a minute, and then Matt's going to come up and lead us in another song, and then we will transition to the next part of the service.
That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind, still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours, I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind, still you hear me when I'm calling. And Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am.
here today and on tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I'm yours. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I'm yours. You can be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. Flower quickly fading. Yeah, it's true. It's true. There's only one kingdom worth living for, right? Yeah. Only one kingdom worth living for. Only one thing that's going to last. Well, I am so glad that you guys could be with us today. There's a lot of folks here for the first time. And if you're new with us, we'd love to get to know you. One of the ways that I learn people's names is if you fill out that little card that's a connection card, put it, there's an offering box in the back. If you're new, we're not asking for your money. You know, if you want to give to God, like, that's awesome. Like, go for it if you've been here for a while. But if you're new, I just want to know your name, right? So, like, I'll learn your name, but then I'll forget it. So you write it down, then I can remember. Right. So if you can fill that out and just let us know how we can pray for you, how we can help you, that would be wonderful. Couple things announcement wise before we head over to the pool. Some of you guys, you know, there's a ramp project. If you walked in like you were stepping precariously on that ramp, like, we're going to replace that thing. And so we need help to do it. Cornerstone is doing the manpower. Bethel Church is providing the money. So we need guys, ladies too, like, whatever. If you got time, September 25, 6, and 7, it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you got time anywhere in there to help out, we would love to have your help. So I think we're probably going to do some yard work and do some upkeep of the property too. But talk to me or Gavin. Raise your hand, Gavin. He's the man in charge. He knows what's going on. So talk to him or myself if you want to help out with that, and we will definitely appreciate that. We also have deacon nominations. Every year we have that. And one of our deacons is going to step down for a year, going to take a break. Ed Sturdivant, he's going to take a break this next year. We would love to have another deacon. So there are nomination forms, I think. The Hadleys left, so there might be some downstairs. If you're part of us, you got an email this week. If you want to make a nomination, you can't find the form. We'll figure that out for you. But I believe there are nomination forms if they were remembered today. So that's happening this week and next week. You can do that. If you did not get to sign up for a home group yet, we got a bunch of people sign up for home groups. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, they're all here. I'm just going to leave these up here. If you're like, oh yeah, I want to try that, like, fill out one. Just let us know you want to be part of one of those home groups. And they meet, it's for the fall term. It's going to be September, October, November. So if you're signing up, you're like, okay, for that term, I want to try out one of those groups. So put your name on there. We'd love to let you know what's going on, how to get connected there. Okay, baptism is next. We've been talking about it all morning. I am mostly done talking. We're going to let other people talk at the baptism, okay? Not going to get another sermon at the baptism, I promise. So we have, Matt thought we had to, like, hurry through this. We actually can't even go over there until 10:30. They're not going to be there till 10:30. And the baptism, like, you guys have some time to, like, get your stuff together. If you want to run home, if you're close, and grab food, whatever, that's fine. But at the baptism, at the pool, like, 2207 Industrial Avenue, if you didn't get a program, 2207 Industrial Avenue, 1.3 miles away, be there by 10:45. You got 30 minutes from now. We will not start until then, and if we're not all kind of back together, we'll wait until 11, like, that's fine. No hurry, it's going to be informal, but hopefully you can join us, even if you weren't prepared. And if you want to swim, you can swim. Just come prepared for that if you're going to swim. That's all we ask. So we got a picnic, we got swimming, we got games, hanging out for the day, stay as long as you want. The pool's open for swimming as of noon, so no swimming until noon, because there needs to be a lifeguard on duty, but we'll have the baptism And the lifeguard is excited to have us there, and she's in charge of the pool. She loves it when we come. So she's like, how many people are getting baptized? And she's going to be listening in to whatever anyone says at the baptism. So that concludes what we're doing here, and we hope that as many of you as possible can join us over there at the pool. Thank you for being here today. It is good to see people who are familiar and people who are unfamiliar. We welcome you and hope you have a terrific day, and hopefully you can join us at the baptism. Thank you much.